Amen. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start off by reading the entire chapter and then coming back and making a point. But I want to read it so that we have context of what we're saying. So, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though you now have seen him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or in what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or that means lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear or in reverence of God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I want us to go back here and look at verse 9. Read all that to read verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, sometimes when we read something like that, you know, if we read it without understanding the New Testament, without understanding what Jesus has done and what the redemptive plan is about, it looks as if there's still, you're not guaranteed salvation, all right, that there's something to be done. But let's talk about it this way. What Christ did for us and what Christ is doing in us, all right? Salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is an ongoing life. We are to live in the benefits of our salvation. Now, a lot of Christians, thank God they get born again, or what we would call get saved. I think sometimes our terminology has hurt us a little bit. Because in talking about this, you know, we say, well, I'm saved. Well, again, we limit that to accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? And sometimes, and that it certainly that certainly means to be saved. Glory to God. I mean, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen? I am saved, but yet that's what Christ did for me, and that causes me to enter in, but there's also an ongoing work of salvation. And we even know this, that there's some of what Jesus has already bought and paid for, we're going to get later. We have eternal life now, but there's going to be living eternally with Christ and with God as we go on. So I just want to look at some things. Maybe this verse 9, let's look at a couple other translations that help us out here. Let's look at this from the Message Bible, first of all. 1 Peter 1:9 in the Message Bible says, because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. Total salvation. Now, look, I'm not saying that Jesus hasn't bought and paid for it all. He has. He doesn't, how many of you know he's not going back to the cross? He's not going to shed his blood again. He's not going to defeat Satan on our behalf again. He's already done all that. But there is a completion to this. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the last enemy to be put under feet is death. So this is something that is ongoing. And that's true when we talk about certain Bible subjects like sanctification. I am sanctified. I am holy. But there is living a sanctified and holy life. Okay? Let's look at the Passion Translation here. Passion Translation of verse 9. Said, for you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. Now we know, we've been taught really well here, and thank God for Pastor Hagen and all the outstanding teaching. We know that when you did get born again, it was our spirit man that became a new creation. We're going to look at that verse later. But we are a new creature in Christ. We're born again. That sin nature has been eradicated in us. We have the nature of God on the inside of us now. That's our spirit. But we do have a soul, and the soul and the spirit are not the same thing, right? You know, I didn't read it, but the Bible says to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Well, that's written to people already saved. What's he talking about? My mind, my emotions, my will, where I make decisions, all of that is ongoing, thank God. And we have a life to live. So not only what Christ did for us, but what Christ did is doing in us, right? We live and move and have our being in him, right? He's working something in us now. One more. Let's look at the New Living Translation here of this verse. It said, the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Now see, if you don't discern the word of God, you know, the Bible says that the word of God is the only thing that can divide spirit and soul. Hebrews 4:12. So if it looks at that, it looks like, well, I'm waiting for salvation. I'm waiting to be saved. No, I am. You are saved. The moment whoever calls on the name of the Lord is what? Shall be saved. Jesus said, we have eternal life now. Now we have it. Not waiting for it. We have it now. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. This verse will help us a little bit. The main thing that I want to encourage us tonight is let's not stop at being born again. Let's not stop at being born again. Let's go on. Let's go on. You know, it seems like, and we talk about growing up spiritually. You know, children, they'll go back and they'll keep telling you about the one event. They'll keep telling you about that one event, all right? Instead of, and until they get older, then they talk about current events. You know, as a child of God, you should have current events. It should not just be the one event. There's an ongoing relationship. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Craig talked to us this morning about miracles. Amen. It shouldn't be we had miracles. It's we're having miracles and we are expecting miracles. Right? I got saved, but I'm expecting salvation in me, in every area of my life. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says, read it from the King James first. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now stop, first of all. Notice he called them beloved. That's a term, you know, that talks about beloved to him, or he loves them. But also we are accepted in the beloved, right? In Christ. That talks about our relationship with God. Now, therefore, my beloved, he's talking to Christians here. He's not writing to somebody else. He said, now, as you've obeyed in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you know, any self-respecting Bible scholar will tell you, now, wait a minute here. Are you saying we're to work for our salvation? No, he didn't say work for your salvation. He said work out your salvation. In other words, what's on the inside, get it on the outside. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. We used to sing all the time. Something's in there working. Salvation's working in me. What Christ did for me is now working in me. He's working in me. I have a vital relationship with him. He is the vine, I am the branch. And the process of bearing fruit is working out our salvation. Again, I want to go to these different translations, the Message Bible, first of all. Verse 12, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. You see, there is our side of this. You know, you could get born again and just stop there. Would you go to heaven? Yeah. Go to heaven, spend eternity with God, praise God. But how many of you know there's more than just that? There's more than just that. And really, you know, we try to classify and say, well, the most important thing is somebody gets born again. Well, yeah, I understand that to a degree. But Jesus didn't die and go to and do what he did just so we get born again. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? See, there's no stealing, killing, and destroying in heaven. That's right now. When do we need life and life more abundantly? Right now. There's no death in heaven. All right. Here again, let's read this from let's read the New Living, first of all. The New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show, I really like this, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I like that. The King James says, with fear and trembling. The word trembling there carries with it the idea of maximum effort. You're giving maximum effort. It's like you're working out, you're lifting a weight. This might be you've got to give your maximum effort. And sometimes, you know, your muscles will start trembling. You're pushing against it. You're doing your part the best you can and trembling. Fear means with reverence and awe of God. Not being afraid. I'm not afraid to miss it or to disappoint God, but I do reverence him so I don't ever want to miss it or disappoint God. Does that make sense? I have a reverence. I have the fear of the Lord, not afraid of the Lord. I think there's a big difference in the Bible. Reverence for God causes me, I have a holy dislike of displeasing God. Right? There's something about reverencing God that just this causes you to do, you want to give out maximum effort. And he says, give out that maximum effort in showing the results of your salvation. How about the Passion Translation here? Let's look at that. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions, as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. Now notice here, he talks about this new life, this your salvation. He said, make it fully manifested. Fully manifested. Well, let's look at John 10:10 now. I quoted it. See, Christ for us We appropriate that by faith. We appropriate that which is the source of life. What Christ did, we appropriate by faith. And it secures our salvation. He said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that we might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Every time I read that word abundantly, I like what the one definition says, super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. Or you could say it this way, the life of God, or life the way God lives it. That's what Jesus came that we might have. That's why he said, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? That we have an experience on earth what is being experienced in heaven. Glory to God. Now, so Christ for us is the appropriation of that life by faith, through faith, and it secures our salvation. But Christ working in us comes because of the indwelling Spirit of God and is the source of the abundant life we're to live in now. And it enables us to live a glorified life unto Christ. Now, let's see this in John 4 and in John 7. John chapter 4. This is just some reminders, some teaching on what salvation, that the new birth isn't the stopping place. Let's put it that way. It's the launching pad. The new birth's the launching pad, if you will. It's not the end, it's the beginning of our life in Christ. Those of you that have had Understanding Grace class, you know we said this, grace initiates salvation, but it's also the continuation. It's the initiation, but there's a continuance that's with it too. It continues to strengthen us. It continues to give us the ability, empowers us to live a sanctified life, to live a life of service, to live a life of giving, right? To live a life that's according to God's word, the grace of God, not only brings us to salvation, it works that salvation out as we go along so that we can be conformed in the image of God's dear Son, not just on the inside, but on the outside. Amen. Not just, yeah, praise God. It starts from the inside. We work out our salvation. I never would intend to make light of the new birth and becoming a new creature in Christ. I mean, without that, that'd be silliness. With the rest of it, we're just wasting our time. But you know, the Bible says that we are now citizens of heaven. Why are we still on this earth if heaven is our home? Evidently, God has something for us here. All right? The main thing is we need to tell others about this hope that we now have, about this common salvation that we all share, the new birth through Jesus Christ, Christ working for us. We need to tell others the gospel message, the good news. All right? Now here, John 4, verses 10 through 14, Jesus here is at the well, Jacob's well in Samaria, and he's asked this woman to give him to drink. She's amazed because Samaritans and Jews didn't have anything to do with one another. But verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. From whence do you have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water, meaning the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now you see, by the context, by what he's saying, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, because he talks about this well of water that's springing up into everlasting life. This happens at the new birth. Every born-again person has this well of living water on the inside of them. It's what God's work, it's Jesus' work, what he did for us. He provided this. And the Spirit of God, when you got born again, the Spirit of God moved on the inside. Amen. And that well is springing up. In fact, all of my needs are met by that well. That well provides my healing. That well provides soundness in my mind and in my body. That well provides all my needs, you know. Now, it doesn't mean I don't act on the word. I have to act on the word to activate, right? How many of you know, if you never dip down or pump the water out of the well, it's not going to benefit you any. Any of you ever pumped a well? Growing up, my grandparents lived at, they were my grandfather's full-time farmer, and you go out to their house, and you had to go outside, you had to pump waters. You know, you could. You didn't have to. They had it run then. But you could pump the water out of that well. Some of you might remember you lowered a bucket down or something and had to reel it up. Praise the Lord. But if you didn't do it, you didn't get any water, did you? Well, the water was there. You know. I think some people got the water in them and they keep going around trying to dig new wells, trying to find the water that's already in them. And they're holy, all right, but it's not the right kind of holy. They've dug holes, but they're, anyway, that's a whole nother story there. But notice this, this water quenches the thirst. The new birth is the quenching of the thirst. Okay, well, let's go to John chapter 7. Here, Jesus talks about something, another work of the Spirit of God. That well springing up into everlasting life. Thank God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one. I like to think of it this way, and I like to say it. It just kind of impacts me. The mighty Holy Ghost is in me. Hallelujah. And he is God. God the Holy Ghost. So when God came to live in the inside of me, when God the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you, he brought his life with him. He didn't put it somewhere else and say, well, that's for some other time. No, it's in there now. That life is in there now. Well, what's it doing in there? What Brother Hagin says, just hitchhiking a ride through life? No, it's springing up. It's a well of living water, springing up into everlasting life. Glory to God. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day by that well. Hallelujah. That's why we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but what you cannot see in the spirit, and what you cannot see about me, and what I cannot see about you, is that well on the inside of you. It's working in you. It's working in me. Glory to God. Now here in John chapter 7, verse 37. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believe on me, as the scripture said, now notice this, there's a little bit difference, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, in John 4, it's a well, a spring. But now, he says, there's going to be a river. That's God working, Jesus working through us and in us now. That river of living water. Flowing, he says, but this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But when he ascended and was seated at the right hand of God and glorified, he told those disciples, he said, I've told you to go. I've given you all the authority that I have to go, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't even think about going out until you be endued with power from on high. That's that well of living water. For you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. See, that well is in there for me. But the river is in there for you. You see, I'm not stopping. Thank God. But I can't stop. God, the love of God's been deposited in our hearts. I can't stop with that. I've got to let it out to help others. The compassion of the Lord. Amen. See, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Same Holy Ghost that he had is in us and on us. We've got two sources of that living water, if you will. The well on the inside and the river flowing out. The river flowing out. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, what do we need to do? We need to not just stop at the new creation. We need to go on and accept our ambassadorship and walk in it. From new creations to ambassadors. Thank God. See, you can't be an ambassador if you're not a new creation. See, you got to be a citizen before you can represent a nation or a place. You got to be born again. You have to become you got to be a new creature in Christ, a citizen of heaven, before you can represent God in the earth. Working it out, working it out, working out your salvation, working those things out. Part of my ambassadorship is to live in a godly manner in a lost and dying world. It's to be the salt of the earth. It's to be the light of the world. Right? We're to shine forth as lights in a perverse and a dark and perverse generation. We're to be the straight line in a crooked? Well, we're in Oklahoma, we have a lot of crickets, but that didn't come out right. But in a crooked world, we're to be the straight line. We are to be, someone said this, for many, you're the only Bible anybody's ever going to read. Amen? And then one other person said, and that Bible needs a lot of revision. I didn't say that, somebody else said that. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, familiar section of Scripture. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Everybody say, I am a new creation. Say, old things are passed away. All things are become new, and all things are of God. Now notice this. Who has? Now he's writing this to Christians, right? Now I'm a new creation now, but God has past reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. So I'm not waiting to be reconciled to God. I am reconciled to God. You're not waiting. You are. Okay? And then he says, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's why we say every member of the body of Christ is a minister of God. You are an ambassador. There's a lot of things that, you know, we could say about ambassadorship. Just naturally, think about it. The ambassador doesn't do their own bidding in the nation they're sent to. They do the bidding of the government who has sent them. They represent wherever they're sent from. We are sent from heaven as ambassadors. And we have been given a central message, and that is the message of reconciliation. What is that? Well, let's read verse 19. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, how different is that message than the message that I think the church, that most people think the church has preached? That you're all just sinners, you know. Repent. You're going to hell, you no good, dirty, rotten sinner. Amen. Let me read this to you from the Believer's Authority Legacy Edition. Brother Hagin said, did you ever stop to think about it? Salvation belongs to the sinner. Jesus already has bought the salvation of the worst sinner, just as he did for us. See, what's that say there? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Because Jesus fully bore them. That's our message. He said, that's the reason. Just as he bought it for the salvation of the worst sinner, just as he did for us. That's the reason he told us to go tell the good news. Go tell sinners they're reconciled to God. But we've never really told them that. We've told them God's mad at them and is counting up everything they've done wrong. Yet the Bible says God isn't holding anything against the sinner. God says he has canceled it out. He has canceled it out. That's what's so awful. The poor sinner, not knowing this, will have to go to hell even though all his debts were canceled. 2 Corinthians 5:19 will tell you that. There's no sin problem. Jesus settled that. There's just a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus and that cures the problem. Yes, that's a little different from what people have been taught, but it's what the Bible says. I'm going to read it. I usually stop there. I'm going to read this next paragraph too. The sinner doesn't know what belongs to him, so it won't do him any good. But by the same token, if Christians don't know the things that belong to them, they won't do them any good. They need to find out what belongs to them. That's why God put teachers in the church. That's why God gave us His Word to tell us what's ours. But see, I've got to go beyond. I'm not just satisfied with being saved. I'm not just satisfied with being born again. I cannot sit on the sidelines of this game. And God, the Bible says to pray that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Amen. But I've got to work out that salvation with maximum effort. And you're not going to accidentally do this. Okay? It's not going to just act, well, you know, people read that it's God who works in you to do of His good pleasure. He who began a good work in you will confirm it until there, will complete in the day of the Lord Jesus. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so what we've done is because, you know, we don't work to get saved. Now, well, we don't want to work now, so we're just waiting for God to do it. I think Pastor Hank, doesn't he have a little mini book on It's Your Move? You ever played a game with somebody and it's their move? They never know it. What is it with some of these people? They never know it's their turn. It's your move. They're like a lot of us Christians though. It's our move. It's our time. It's our time to pick up the ministry of reconciliation and be His ambassadors. God save the world. Go ye. Preach the gospel. God send forth laborers. You go. Where? Jerusalem. Where's that? Hometown. You know, a lot of folks, and I understand it, but you know, a lot of folks, they want to make, and they do it sometimes, bless their heart, the first time they ever led anybody to the Lord is on a mission trip. That's sad. Amen. See, here's the thing. If you've never led anybody to the Lord, you're not having any fun being a Christian. You tell somebody about Jesus and they say, yeah, I want to become a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a drug you can get hooked on. Woo, the drug of ambassadorship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation. The ministry of it. And you know this? You've got the grace to do it because He said this is something we all do. All of us. Every new creation. Didn't you just say you're a new creature? See, all the old things have passed away. All things are new and all things are of God. It's His ministry. He says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. See, that's it. We are His ambassadors. Christ came. He didn't, God worked through Him, not counting your trespasses, your sins against you, because He put them all on Christ. And now we are His ambassadors. I'm here as His ambassador, and I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, I'm asking you, with all the fervency I can muster, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Well, I'll have to be reconciled to God. Amen. I heard a story, I think it was either Finney or Moody. I can't remember which one told this. Is quoted as saying it. But somebody, he would go out, and he just didn't want to win people in his meetings. He'd go out on the street before his meeting and win people to Christ. And he was out there witnessing to one young lady. Time she said, "Well, she said I can't be a Christian. I don't want to give up dancing. I don't want to give up dancing, you know." He said, "Would you just come on to the meetings?" He said, "Come on to the meeting." He said, "Listen, you come to the meeting, and when the altar call comes, you give your heart to the Lord, and then after that, you dance all you want." So she came, responded to the altar call, went back in the prayer room, got saved, came out and found him afterwards, said, "You tricked me." So what do you mean I tricked you? She goes, "I don't want to dance anymore like that." Amen. But what she didn't know, she's already reconciled to God, whether she's dancing or not. How many people have ever fished before? You've ever fished before? Have you ever cleaned a fish before you got it in the boat? You can't clean a fish before you catch it. Amen. Verse 21, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the moment a person gets reconciled, that they can say that, we can say that about them. And the price has already been paid. But it's not only what Christ did for us, thank God, but it's what Christ is doing in us and then wants to do through us. Hallelujah. Let's not stop at our salvation. Even in my own life, go on and receive the fullness of your salvation. Receive it, but don't stop there. Make it about others. When we make it about others, then we begin to walk in the fullness of what God has done. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for this word tonight. We thank you, Father God, that Jesus has worked for us. We are reconciled to you. And thank you, Father God, that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, you said we'd be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Father God, that we can be born again. But Father, we don't want to stop there. We want to go on. We want to go on from there. We want to receive the fullness of our salvation, not just eternity with you, but we want to have that well of water and the river of living water flowing out of us so that we can bring that life to others through the ambassadorship and the ministry of reconciliation that you've called all of us to. Father, help us by your grace. By your grace, Father God, we lay aside our fear. We lay aside our inadequacies. We lay aside all the reasons why we can't do it. And by your grace, we shall do it. We shall be ambassadors. We shall minister the word of reconciliation to those that don't know. We'll be a light, glory to God, in the darkness. We'll be a straight path where it's crookedness only. We'll be life where there's only death. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes, now I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar, but sometimes it's just good to respond to something like this. If you say tonight, Lord, I'm going to be that ambassador. I'm going to be a minister of reconciliation. Just stand up right where you are. Just before the Lord and this congregation, just stand up right there. I know you say, well, I already am. That's right. Stand up anyway. Just stand up and give the devil a black eye. Just let the devil know. Hallelujah. He's already lost where you're concerned. Hallelujah. And you're going to take other people to heaven with you. We're going to, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up before God. Say this, Heavenly Father, I'm your child. And as your child, I want to be like you. And I know what you're doing in this day. You're reconciling the world. Thank you. I'm going to take this message. I'm going to take it to my neighborhood. I'm going to take it to my state. I'm going to take it to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, see, you may never go to the world, but make sure someone goes. Help them go. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't been born again. You haven't experienced what Christ did for you. I got good news for you tonight. God's not holding anything against you. Not one thing. There's not one thing you've ever done or said God's holding against you. You can receive that forgiveness tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never received the forgiveness that God has for you through Christ, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand so I know to pray for you? Look around. Ushers can help me. Amen. Don't see it. Look, ask the person next to you. Ask them, you forgiven? You saved? Just ask them. Amen. Start your ministry of reconciliation right now. Looks like everyone in here knows the Lord. But look, you might need prayer for something else tonight. If you need prayer for anything, our ladies are over here. Ladies come to the ladies. Men come to the men. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God. How many know that's where answers come from? Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget the different meetings, the young adults tomorrow night, 18 to 25-year-olds, Tuesday night. Synergy meeting this week? You are, I think they are, aren't they? Wednesday night, Hour of Power Men's Conference starts on Thursday night. All right. God bless you. Let somebody know you love them. In Jesus' name, you can be dismissed.